to continue with several things that have not been presented yet at the tutorial. We see that we have a little bit different style. It's now again at the same server and also included in the downloads zip file if you have it already, so you can run it locally. But you can also try to run it remotely from our university cloud server, but this is only a small testing machine, so I'm not sure if it will be able to stand with a load of several users in parallel. I use it in my own groups with also 20 people. So one is about speeding up. Here we want to use compilers and compile C and Fortran code. And my first question is, who has not yet the development tools installed? Who knows what the development tools are? Yes. Okay, the majority. This is really nice, and it developed also during the last years. In the beginning, this was not really common to have it, except for Linux users. And now it's more and more common. So this is just a hint about the style. These are slides made with RStudio's one of RStudio's slide generating tools from Markdown. This is really nice, but the problems are in the details. You have to deal with Markdown, LaTeX, HTML, CSS, R, and whatever, and you have different kinds of JavaScript frameworks, and they are all incompatible with each other. And some things work in one framework and don't work in the other. This is made here with Slidey, because Slidey allows a mix between ordinary slides like this stuff, which are limited to the screen size, and others which go over several pages. This is something that I really like as an alternative to the PowerPoint, put everything in small splits. Okay. This is again the LoRa system in R, and I hope you are not too upset in the end that we use such theoretical models from physics and meteorology and not really biological models. But in fact, that's very similar to a Lotka-Volterra model, and predator-prey models can indeed be transformed, some of them in exactly this case. There is a nice paper from Blasius and Stone about a chaotic Lotka-Volterra model in nature, around 2000, and turned out that it's exactly the Lorentz system, but written in another way. So here in R, and we can again just copy it and try it out, but I think this is not really a challenge. So let's skip, let's go to the next part. How to write in Fortran, in C, and then in Fortran, and in the end we will try to put these things together with a small exercise. So the interface that was originally invented by Woodrow Setzer, maybe, I'm not sure if Martin Mechler had also his fingers in this interface. Already the very first ODE solve package allows the direct coupling between the solvers and compiled code. And this is more practical than it, even more practical than one thinks at the first look, because normally you think C is faster, so that's why the model runs faster and the simulation is faster. But the benefit is even more, because normally if we run a model simulation in R, then we have here R. R starts the model, so starts the solver, and then the solver makes a step, calls back to R. Then the R model is called, executed back. The control is transferred back to the binary machine code side and back and forth. So we have lots of communication overhead between the R interpreter and the compiled code that is already in the solvers, because all the solvers are nowadays written in C and Fortran. In the past we had also pure R solvers, but they are gone away. So what is done here, if the model is already in machine code and the solver is in machine code, they can communicate directly and avoid lots of copying of data in the memory. And this is much faster, except, and this is something that I, my first example that I skipped here, except if the model is already in matrix form. If you have a model that is well formulated as a matrix, it can be large, it can be a three-dimensional system. And we found out by not very systematic benchmarking that the performance gain, if you transfer a model that is written in a clean matrix notation to C or Fortran, is only 2 times. So it's 2 times faster, which is not that much compared to what we hopefully will see. So what do we need? First, we need to include the R headers. And this is a very simple interface, and sometimes people, batteries are, this is the disadvantage of green laser pointers, they need more batteries. After the coffee break, that's really okay. I take them out. So when we change them, okay. This is really very simple, and some people don't like it, but I like it because it's so simple and it's easy to use, and you can write own more complicated, more complex interfaces. So the parameters are just defined as big processor map platforms here in R. Parameter 0, you'll get a name A, parameter 1, you'll get a name B, parameter 2, name C. Please consider that C starts counting with 0. That's the tip. I would say the most common error. Then there is a initializer. Can have any name, but this has default them from the R side. And this is a little bit tricky, pointer to functions and so on. I don't want to explain it right now. The important thing is here that it installs the call in the memory so that it can be called by the solver. That's the trick. And the solver has also access to these data, because the solver is already ready compiled in a DLL, and this is now another DLL, and they need to communicate. It's really tricky, and some parts of this were just inherited by Woody, and some others were really nice to find out. Okay, but what we do here, we make a check here. Check here if the number that we supply is met. That's just something that can be, of course, be tweaked, and then model crashes. It's just a reminder to take care. And there have been also considerations to omit this and make it automatically. There are indeed methods, but in the end we decided not to do it. People could think about what they want. And the last part, that's the essential part, is all the equations. You have here the state variables y, and you just say y1, y0, y1, y2, you have to count a little bit. Of course, you can also use macros or structures or whatever you want to make it readable. Or this is the other way around, to write an R script that writes you the C or Fortran code. Several packages exist that can be used, for example, from Daniel Kaschek. There are number of equations. The number of equations, that's again this number. But this is the number of state. No, this is the number of parameters, and this is the number of state variables. Exactly. And some other things which are reserved, because you can also use auxiliary variables. Why out that we don't use here? Yeah? So store intermediate calculation results, maybe from such a term. So then. The model is compiled. You can do this directly from R/CLD shell library, .c. This is really great. This function does also do more than you think. In the very beginning, I compiled my own shared libraries, and if you have to read the thick book of Microsoft documentation, what to do and how to strip off the symbols and all these things. This is all done by R. Scripts, shared library script in R behind the scenes in the same way or in the appropriate way for Windows and Linux, where it's a little bit different. And then we can load the compiled package. This is here the Windows version, and in Linux it's .so, and you can of course also retrieve this from R, which is which is in your case the appropriate extension. And then we have the state variable times this function here, the derivative function. This is the name here in C. Parameters, this is an R construct, log and C, that's the function of the shared library. The L name without the extension and the initialization function here. Then you unload it from the memory and write it. So this can be done live. And the nice thing is everything works, of course. I did not copy it because I showed you something else. Here is already the Fortran file on the hard disk. Yeah, that's needed. And we have, of course, to go to this folder first. So we need compiler. Then you have to move to the correct folder where the file is, or can of course also actually complete search part here. I don't like this, especially if I get give an exercise to a student, a colleague, they do something and then give it back to me with the long name of their local office. Yeah, it's completely different from my one. And then sometimes they forget an essential file also. So that's why I prefer to work only with relative part names. So files. It's easier if I exception that you have to edit such a file, it's not magic anymore. So the same works with Fortran. Fortran is we have a division of labor. I was responsible for C and Colin for Fortran. In most cases, the Fortran code is more numerical code inside. It's essentially very similar. Same structure. What is used here are these comment blocks. Modern Fortran people will also have their problems with this, but comment blocks are, in my opinion, not really bad as long as you know what you are doing. The problem is to put everything in a comment block. That's the problem. To have control over it is, in my opinion, completely illegal. And the rest is, again, the same. So now comes your task to do a benchmark. Not your task. The small problem is that the model is so fast in all cases, even in the R case, that you have to run it several times. Not for example, 10 times or 100 times to see a different. In system time, measures the time. How fast? Maybe only the C and R work. As a backup, but I'm very slow. Use always the brackets in the interest of better understanding for students. But here, for is one statement, out is one, or one function, in the system time, so you don't need to go with the brackets around. Your brackets is not count. Now in the call setting. source can be calculated. So, who has other results? So how fast does it work? First question. Who has problems? Can also move around and help you. exactly the same in the Shiny tutorial. Yeah, they, all the others were ready and. It was 60 times faster, and now I have also 100 times. It's a little bit the question, which time is to be used. The usual time is the time that R spends for calculations, and elapsed time is the total time which is spent by the computer, maybe also by other processes. But parts of the other processes invested by the system are also caused by this relation that we run, called memory management and so on, which is not directly, it can be. So running a benchmark can be tricky, and this should then be done in batch mode, yeah? with fresh booted computer and so on. That's unregulated. But as a first guess, it's, I think, 60 to 100 times faster. This small model. So the question is, why should a small model, which is already fast, be made faster? Are there any, if a model runs 5 seconds or 0.05, it's the same. I have to wait almost the same time. Seconds or less than 1 second, not so different. If you have a small model, then you are tempted to run it many, many times. Yeah, in a Markov chain Monte Carlo simulation, or for parameter fitting, or exploring the parameter space. Shows how you can speed up the model. This is indeed the ecological model. I said, yes, use matrices is one thing, then you can also implement the central clause of a model, especially in the case of complex models, and then call only the DLL within the R model. This works also. And for more infrastructure from R for doing statistic analysis or something fancy. This is an example. Here we see a predator prey model with four species. So we have two predators and two preys. Huh? So, and this is the first prey. This is the first predator. So this is the first prey, the second prey, the first predator, and the second predator. Huh? And they compete here. And you can imagine that it's possible to add more prey and predators. Huh? For theoretical things, you can add 10 or 100 or whatever, and then you get more and more equations. And the same can also be done this way. You write only one single equation. In matrix notation, this is a generic species, it grows. Because R is bigger than one, then it's a prey. If it's less than one, it's a predator. And this is the interaction matrix, A, who eats whom. Prey one, uses something, is eaten by the prey for one. In this case, we have only the connections. Like the first part, only one prey per one predator to have a fair competition. But in fact, this is already a full model where everyone can eat everyone in this network. Similar things are also possible for chemical reactions, transport systems, and so on. So one single member, one single network formulated. Here is something that is really surprising. The equation is faster, 50%, not much, 0.34, 0.2. And this is something that changed. With older versions of R, the difference was bigger. Now R made lots of optimizations in the code, and the difference is getting less. So in general, all is getting faster in the last years. This is what I mean with metrics way of data. And as a side effect, such as more general models also much more aesthetic and simpler. Okay, next point is, and then I will just go to more coding again. This is now something that I think you really want to try out, even if there is no real exercise, just to reproduce things. So it's again found in this Lingo Life report to JSON user 2017, or if you want, also in the zip file that we provided for download. So Shiny sounds very complicated, and it is indeed an interesting thing because you have to rethink many things, and this is the so-called reactive programming model. Reactive programming model is you have a construction that calculates only if it is needed. And if you need the value two times, you can call the complete construction and it doesn't calculate again, it's cached. So, and sometimes you want to prevent that it makes new calculations and so on. And this is indeed a little bit tricky. I cannot, or we cannot cover these aspects. For this, you have to go to a Shiny tutorial or you the very excellent online tool. But as a first introduction, I make also a little bit of markdown here, such a document with a sidebar, because it was not possible, or at least for me, not possible to embed Shiny apps in a in slides or in these long in slides, yes, but not in long slides. So, okay. We have again a model, and what do we need? We need the dynamic result model, of course, or something that we want to visualize. Then the Shiny package, and we have to provide the script app.r where all the essential parts are in. Must have the name app.r to run on a server, but if you want to run it locally, it can also have another name. And the Shiny server. The Shiny server, there are three different possibilities. RStudio has a Shiny server built in. So if you run it from RStudio, you can use it before. If you want to put it on the web, then you have the three web servers, ShinyApps.io, where you can put a limited number of models with limited runtime for free. It's really nice. But for prominent things, we have to create a little bit of time. This way that then hopefully come back at this wonderful trip to the ESR conference and all copy. So thanks to our studio. So, the Brusselator. So I'm going to Brussels without the Brusselator model as a dynamic modeler is impossible. So this is, of course, a must. And it describes a mechanical reaction, which under certain circumstances can show fluctuating or periodic behavior. I think we should not go too much into details. You can read it and there are also links to the data for more background. So the Brusselator in R is similar to what we have already seen. Huh? It's that will be the package result, model, two state equations, initial values here, I call them y0, parameters, also will be working. That's the result. Now we want to make it interactive. What do I mean with interactive? Exercise, copy the app to our studio, save it to this, try it out, the following. This is now what we want to have. We want to change, in this case, the initial conditions. The initial substances that are given, that's interesting, they are parameters, but in fact they are parameters, but it's something like a state variable because they are consumed during the reaction, but not state variables for the differential equation model. So and depending on these values, you see this this output here in this presentation. You can now change something. Then we have to adapt system. Now it's in the equilibrium. Also enter something here. Depends on the browser, if German comma or English period, whether sometimes even if I set the browser to English, it will maybe have the German comma, okay, if you're now the surprise that these things are complicated script this. By the way, this script does not run here from my computer, it runs on the computer in Dresden. This Shiny app receives on my server, Limno Live, that has a Shiny the model, it's here output. Here we have two buttons. We call the buttons two input boxes, A and B. And the output field is not output that CO4 Brussels. This is the interface. It defines the interface. Of course, you can also make a layout, and then it's getting bigger. That's the stripped down part. I took the example from the RStudio webpage and found out what can be reduced, what can be left away. And the server, that's what it's done here. The function, and this returns the list or the structure with a special shiny list of the class name output, and Brussels, that's the name here for the output, and then a function letter plot. And then the second interesting interaction part is this input A, input B. This is what input returns. Input output, input comes in, and from input you get the two parameters A and B. And output is put back to the interface. So you should know there's a scheduler around, takes the input, the output, and channels it to the user interface. That's all. Of course, if you run it from RStudio, you have also need to all the time this is now in the embedded browser of RStudio, and this is in the modern area web browser. Of course, faster than the remote version. There's a B missing. I can probably call this already. Improvements. In the next step, we want to have a little bit more more layout, and we want to free all parameters, not only A and B, but also the K parameters and also the initial state. So we need a bigger interface. This looks like this. The model remains the same. The server has now just more input statements. They are, instead of having fixed parameters, they are all taken from the interface. Then I added the state diagram. This one. So this is the server, and then the interface is getting bigger. Numeric input, numeric input, numeric input, numeric input, numeric input, numeric input, and so on. You can say the range, minimum, maximum, step size, width of the control. Then H3 is an intermediate title. If you know a little bit about HTML text, this is very helpful. And then you have layout. Layout starts already here. We have header panel and main panel. Header panel is the gray one where the parameters are in, and main panel is the one where the results show up. And the header panel is then constructed according to the sidebar. Sidebar layout and sidebar panel. It's always important to count the parentheses. I wonder if everything very natural is the commas. No, this is this function sidebar layout is a function with arguments. So all the arguments are separated by comma except the last one, because nothing comes after it. So here is no comma. Always in the same view. Here's a comma because the second argument of sidebar layout is main panel, but if main panel closes, all the other functions are closed. So then we have a little bit more control. And now comes the question, generalization. I like it if you can reduce things. I don't like to type several times the same, so or to do copy and paste. And this is something to understand. We have here again the user interface. You have your one ported numeric input and another one. Here in the first example, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times calls to numeric input. And here we call it with lapply. Lapply function whatever x, do call numeric input x. So all the essential things are already prepared in a list. So this list contains what is the name of the parameter, which value should be changed, what is the default parameter, how is the width of the control field, and so on. And interesting things is that most essential parts are already available. Yeah? The state vector and the parameter vector have already a named or named vector, so you have already the name that is written there, and the value here. So you can take directly these values, and the rest is here just minimum, maximum, step, width is all taken as default. And then I construct your two lists, one for the parameters and one for y. Of course, you can also join this. Yeah? Apply length, make list, and make list is a function that brings this together. Needs a little bit pondering, but is not really complicated. And the nice thing is, this can be taken and used as a template. Just replace the Brussels later with another model, give the parameters names, and the model should run. The only thing that we should change is the section title. Because then it's eventually not the Brussels later model anymore. And this is something that I just show you. You can also use the model. You can compile the model in C or Fortran. And here I use the package CLD, package of Daniel Kaschel, where you can write well, it's sufficient to write equations of the model as a text string, a text constant, and then it's compiled behind the scenes. This package can do even more, what we don't do here. So all these Fortran or C environment things, definition of the parameter macros, initialization function, not required. And instead of ODE, we call function ODEC. And then, the result is not shown here because it's exactly the same as before, only a little bit faster. So, if you want to see code, that's the C code that was automatically defined. Please need the spaces here. It's clearly perfect. There's a mix for you want to try it out, or otherwise I would transfer control to Colleen.
Yeah.
Huh? You don't need you need an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I was just
we have
something maybe I show you how our models can also two compartments. It was written before I really understood how Tiny works. The question was, is it a risk if you further reduce nitrogen, because then phosphorus release from sediments could increase, and can the cyanobacteria then take over and run? And here we created a model with a few more state variables, especially about organic carbon. This is a simplified structure. Nutrients, phosphorus, nitrogen, several fractions, the algae groups, zooplankton, different fractions of particulated organic matter, and fixation by algae, light discharge with nutrients, with living material, with organics, and so on. And this is then such a metric. This is also something that is in your zip file, the package called Rodeo to make the simulation model compatible with the result from an Excel table or from Excel tables where all the equations and parameters are in. We don't have time to show this, and this would be definitely too much. So these are all the processes, the terms of the equation, and these are the state variables. It is here in the zero day, so in the box model form, but the master student has now transformed this into a one dimensional lake model for drinking water. And then in the acknowledgements and links, you see who contributed, and there we have a stolen base model from Airbag Zurich. They have already modeled and we put parts that we liked, and others were discarded, and some others were developed ourselves. And then we can run the simulation. So this is with real data and for several years. This does not take place because there are other sources of nitrogen. JavaScript-enabled graphics for web pages. Also nice for data visualization. You don't need Shiny and all this stuff. Now we have a long time series. You can zoom in. You can move a window over it. It's not developed by us, of course. Yeah? It's a tried it and got good solutions and by Monte Carlo fitting and by and using F&E. And then I had a look at it and I don't believe in these parameters. Yeah, that's here it's a heavily over-parameterized model. And the first question is which models to calibrate. And then put it through the Dropbox. No thanks. Last year there was a talk about analyzing access of all the embedded objects and so on, and the speaker, one of the first sentences was, Excel is a reality. And
so apparently I was in the notes what we were going to say in the folder that we also were going to talk about global applications. And so Thomas said this is your part.
Do you need the netcdf files here?
No, no, I don't. Because I will not run it. I cannot run it because it's
you don't need it.
Is it muted? So this is the last part. It's a paper that I wrote 1 year ago, which is really the largest model that I ever used in R. Is that how I did it? So you know how to make it and to do it. So the a model about deep waterfalls. I don't know whether you know the deep waterfalls, but they are, so you have the shallow water, of course, which you all know, but when you go like 600 meters deep in the water, you also find corals, which do not use, of course, the light to grow, so they need food from somewhere else, and so we never knew before this, this modeling, where this food came from. So my idea was to try to make the organic matter, so the food that is straight up where it comes from. And so the model is in fact it's very simple. It's just I just model organic matter and it's transformed with currents, which are moving. to the current, but it also sinks so because of its own weight, so it sinks to the bottom. And while it's cyclical, so you start with a large concentration, and then as time progresses, you get less and less organic matter. And organic matter is also produced at the very near to the surface, limiting primary production. So the current velocities were not calculated with R, they were calculated with the typical numerical hydrodynamical model, which is the Romans model. So this is a very complex model that was that the Romans programmed in Portland. So what Romans did, it generated these current velocities, which were then used as forcing functions in this organic matter. The model is quite large, so it means that we have a lot of boxes that where we model this organic matter. So there were like 316 boxes times 240, so this is just to cover the horizontal grid, and then the vertical there were 32 boxes, and there were 120 time steps that the forcing function consisted about. The vertical dimension is in sigma coordinates, so maybe they can tell you anything that you need, in fact, that the boxes are not the same size, so the depth is very high. The boxes are larger, and as the depth decreases, the boxes will be smaller, so that in the vertical you always have the equal number of boxes. So this is for sigma coordinates. The other, the other type of model is for z coordinates. So the Romps model writes the velocities and density df packs, so fortunately R has a package of several packages in fact that allows you to read these density df files. And I use the package R density df. So because the forcing function files are quite large, it takes a bit long to read all those files, but you do this only once. So you, from these files you extract the velocity in the direction. And then time just tells you when each of these points were aligned. Then because USV and W are, they in fact have the same structure, so we're all defined in the same time frame. So when I make an interpolation function that just gives you for each time which position in the matrix or in the array that you can find the forcing function, so that I need to call this interpolation function only once. So here I call which time point do I find peak in this matrix, and then this here gives the rest. So if, for instance, if you peak at 2.4, then each will be 3, and then each peak times. So here, then I just interpolate to the exact values that I need for the forcing function. So the transport is an important function, so it's just the, in fact, the numerical, so the hydrodynamics coefficient is a really important function, which is so I pass for each time step, I pass the correct values that I the forcing functions, for instance, and then also the state variable, and on the negative term is in fact the transport, which is due to the hydrodynamics. And then the model is run as any other model, so it uses ODA point VD because it's a three-dimensional model, so an ODA VD is written very efficient way to solve it, and I used the Alice method, which was for this particular model, was the most efficient one to solve that. And it took about, we run this model for 150 days, it took like maybe 2 hours in R, whereas the hydrodynamic code, it took 3 days to run the hydrodynamic model output on a much faster computer. So R was really very efficient. Okay, so now to visualize, you first need to know what is the depth of all the boxes. So for each of the output boxes, we need to know what is the depth in the mean, in the middle of each box. So this is something that we extract also from the hydrodynamic model output. And then, of course, we have sigma coordinates, and so we have to convert these sigma coordinates to depth values, and this is for, to do that, I will back it for ocean view. And so in ocean view, what you do is you use the mark sigma, which is the distance of the sigma coordinates, and this is the actual depth of each of the sigma boxes. And you can say, I'm looking at that, that is true for the vector, which is always the same. And then you can just use the image, and so image to be to visualize the output. And then you get something like that. So this is these are two time instances of the organic matter concentration itself, which are predicted with this model. And when you see it back for this above this R amount, so this is the R amount, this R amount you have to notice around 3 5, and it's been made by the corpus itself. So this is really something that they've grown in thousands of years, they have grown 300 meters, and you see that because they are there, they actually attract kind of a beams of organic matter, so they the currents are really flowing along these polar mountains. Whereas if you look at polar mountains, then you see that sometimes the organic matter tends to form cascades down from the slope. Voila, that was it. Questions?
You do? It's just the first order decay. Yeah. It's a very simple model. Yeah. So it sinks and it decays, that's all it is.
This is a transfer model that looks like this. So the fact that we do here with R is nothing more than just visualizing transport normally, but this is due so you get the arrow, so you can more or less see where it goes to, but if you add the place which decays, then it's very easy to see where it, how it flows.
What's the use
of
the sigma?
It's, you know, if you have a domain which is which changes a lot in depth. So for instance, on a certain part of the domain you have like 10 meters, and on other parts of the domain you have, you want to model 100 meters. Then you, but if you use Z coordinates, so which have the same depth everywhere, then here in the first domain you would have like 2 boxes, and in the deep you would have 200 boxes. Yeah. And then another thing you have, these zigzag. So sigma coordinates are smooth. You always have the same number of boxes. You know there exists a lot of or also what you need to use the Z coordinates, have sigma coordinates and whatever you want it to be have. It's just transport that changes. That's a little bit different. The process, I mean, the biogeochemistry is the same, whatever hydrodynamics you use.
It really means that the phase is just good, right?
Sorry?
Because the different boxes means that the phase is.
This is discrete.
And then to the end of the
file. To the next.
So you could you do this same model with the problem state, or do you be problem file?
Not really exactly.
Where would be the
I mean this is the I mean if you want to integrate spatial gradients, this is really like you describe most of the value space, and then you describe what happens in the second of the box. Just like you know if you solve for a model numerically in time, this is also what you do. You have to go one time step to another time step. Even though the model is written in continuous time, when you solve it, you use discrete time. And also, it's the same thing.
more terms and constants and so, but it's always what goes out from the resource goes in phytoplankton, and what goes out from phytoplankton goes into the zooplankton. So you write the same equation twice. Of course, if you write the code yourself, you detect such things, write sub function and try to bring a little bit structure in. And this is done by this matrix approach, which is also called matrix approach, and comes from also chemistry and wastewater treatment. And in this case, you can formulate everything as a matrix. This matrix is then used by, again, model, the code generator. This audio takes these tables, ASCII tables, or plain text tables, or Excel tables, and creates a Fortran code, which is very fast. And our experience is that, of course, it's such a compact machine-generated code, it's even faster than a normal manual. Lots of things around. Now that's it. It has also a little bit documentation support, so you can create a LaTeX table out of the Excel table for your paper, where all the model parameters are. So this is the background. David already included a 1E support. So this is an infrastructure that can also be used for 1E models, maybe for rivers or so. But and when we have time and, of course, money for a project, we can also extend it to more than that. Yes, David has already a transport module. Yes, he says that in the moment there's a left-right syntax, so you can access the next boxes. Of course, yes. So there's lots to do. So thank you very much for participating. Yes, we have still 5 minutes for questions. One final announcement. If you have questions, then it's always helpful. We get often questions, and we try to answer everything, but the priority may differ a little bit. Yes, if you have also other things, so you can increase the priority if you write to the mailing list. There's a mailing list. In the all mailing list with the speaker, the mailing, no, I default outwards, that's the main page of the source where we regularly collect material. I got a warning about the network, maybe they switched me.
Yes,
server where the source code is now you use sometimes also GitHub, but please don't change the GitHub version of the source because it's sometimes outdated. It's not maintained by us. So. And then there is a mailing list on sync dynamic models. Maybe I forgot an S somewhere. Dynamic models at our project org, where things about dynamic models are discussed, and we are happy if also other people working with us discuss their things there. It's not PSolve Karline Thomas only mailing list. Yeah, it's a official or special interest group because it's our. Or we wrote DESolve and others, or I used it, and then you improved it, and I contributed because we want to use it. And we are also happy if other people contribute. Of course, competition is also nice, but here we see it very positive. And this can be solved on the mailing list. And also, it's always nice to hear if you where you are. We are all humans, and if we are not paid for answering questions and for our software, it's positive feedback where it is used is the motivation to answer a question a little bit faster. Yeah. Of course, if you have reasons to be to remain anonymous, this is also okay, but you cannot gain from this. Companies do it like this. Mailing list support is free, and personal support costs something. This is not our model yet, but a little bit feedback is nice. Also in citations, of course.